Yeah, it's still running. 12:01.
Why don't you do this?
Do what?
Why don't you check?
Out of order. Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
My ears were tuned in to what was behind me. I didn't hear you say pledge. Sorry.
Okay, we're here. Roll call. Approve agenda.
I move to approve today's agenda.
Second. Okay.
All in favor?
Move on. Discuss. Discuss. Monthly financials.
Okay. So there are the monthly financials that, we published in.
So,
How much light it gives us, but it's just...
I don't know. This is open as much as it can be open.
Hard to hear people talking behind me.
Yeah. So, you want to just talk to us about any variances or where we should be at this point? It's how far into our fiscal year are we? We're at July, August, September, so we're through our first quarter.
Yep.
And what do you guys think? So that means we should be about 25% through, right?
Yeah, some of those...
But yes. Some of those are timing and all that.
Yeah, some of those you actually... we pay them one time in the first quarter, so you'll see some line items are actually 100% committed.
Yeah.
And that's because those line items we pay once per year, they were paid.
So that's why it's like important for you guys to pick out the stuff that is relevant and just bring it to our attention of favorable or unfavorable and why. Good with that?
Mm-hmm. Thus far, short of not having money in the enough money in the CIP and enough money to do all the wonderful things, but in operational budget, we are doing fairly well. We're fairly solid on that.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like capital is 99% mm-hmm. left. So. No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I can't see it.
Well, we've only used budget balance is only $839. What's going on there?
What are you looking at? I'm sorry.
I'm looking at
which statement? Can't see
capital it. Projects and equipment. Right here. Capital projects and equipment.
Sorry, what page are you looking
right
on?
But that's operations, not our actual capital, is another statement.
Okay, all right.
That's just the name of an account.
We've used 99% of budget already.
So that money is transferred in for special projects?
Got it.
So I try to transfer in the exact amount, so that's why it's at 99%.
So this is not an actual department?
No, it's just an account. So capital expenditures are over here on this capital expense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just it's an account name that as the project is being paid off, we have to make those payments. We turn around and transfer that money over so it can actually come out.
Overall at this point, revenues over under expenditures were almost 38% unfavorable, and I suspect that capital projects thing is what's throwing it off. You know what I mean? And I'm just wondering, would you like to categorize that differently, or is it appropriate, or are you okay with it?
Which page do you have there?
That's page 10, under revenue expenses on audit.
I'm on page 1. Jim added a zero.
Revenue expenses is of September 1.
Yeah, so it's like 37%.
All right, it's the same thing, end of report.
Yeah, it's 37% unfavorable, and I suspect it's that 99% capital projects thing that's throwing it off.
Capital projects and equipment.
Do you see what I mean, or am I?
I don't. I can't figure out what page. Okay, so we are on the same page.
We are.
So yes, this is just, these are all departments and accounts.
Look at your bottom line.
Right.
So we're 37% unfavorable. That's a negative.
That's 90.
Right, because all the revenues haven't come in for the year.
Okay, but
You're talking about this one right here?
No, I'm talking this one right here. So I'm asking you, is it because of that?
I have 96%. I'm not sure what you mean. So I must be on the wrong page.
So what it's saying here is our expenses are over because we transfer money in to do special projects.
Right,
so
that's
yes,
right.
So you are correct in that statement, that's why it's unfavorable.
Okay.
Which page?
It's on page one, and when you look at your bottom line,
her print's not as good as ours.
So where we have a 37% unfavorable variance.
Yeah, I'm definitely on a different page because I'm on.
Which document are you on?
Yeah, I'm on the right document.
This is 120.
It. We're clearly in the dark.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm on 130. That's what I needed to know. Thank you.
So 120.
And I'm just saying, if that explains it, it's okay.
Yes.
Unless you wanted to state it differently to get a more accurate statement. And if you're comfortable with the way it is, you can just tell the board that. And I'm fine with that. So your bottom line is 37%
right.
Unfavorable to budget revenue over expenses. Two reasons. One, revenue hasn't reflected here.
Right.
And then we have that line with the capital projects and equipment, which is a transfer through.
Correct.
And that's kind of throwing it off.
Right. And so, some of those projects are waiting on FEMA money as well.
Right, but I mean, are you guys comfortable with that? And just explain to the board why we are 37% unfavorable.
Most certainly, or we can put it a different way if you want.
Right, if you think it's a better way to do it, it's fine.
Well,
if not, fine.
Can I think about that?
Yep.
See,
absolutely.
You know, what would be the usual and customary way of doing it?
Right.
I mean, that's what you're actually really asking. Yeah.
So I need to process that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Good idea.
So good. Are we good, Kirk?
Definitely, yeah. I'm just trying to think if there's a different way to.
Yeah, well, ponder it, and you know, it might be a question to ask our accountant person.
Yeah,
and if there is no solution, we just explain it.
Right.
That's it. Yeah, I heard you switched accounting. So I'm good.
Got some concerns with the other with Tracy's billing process.
Everything else looking pretty good.
Okay. All right, so my question on 120 on page one, just another, which is one we were on, the revenue summary. We're looking at 45% of total revenues of 1.5. So our year to date, I don't know what I'm looking at here because the current period is 170, almost 175,000, and that's 45% of total budget.
And if you look at line transfer in, it's 4580. See that 295,000? We have to transfer money in order to pay capital projects. Which the original budget transfer in, right, was the 54,000 we put in there to balance our budget.
And so this transfer thing is a fluctuating.
It's when we have to pull money from money market and late.
Yeah.
And so Norm wants it done with a transfer in type of journal entry.
Okay.
That's where this money comes from. That's really not in the budget. It's just as projects happen.
And that is.
That's why.
Yeah, and that is when we looked at that. We were looking at doing that on an ongoing basis, and we were told that was better to do it quarterly.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
When we do the transfers, right?
Well, you're talking about the percentages. We haven't done that yet for this first quarter. This is actual projects, like when we needed to pay for the back truck.
Right.
We had to transfer in big chunks of money, and that's where it shows up in revenue as a transfer in.
So it's tracked.
But you can see, if you look at the current budget, there's nothing, you know, there because We don't know what it's gonna be.
It came from the, in that case, it came from the 712 account for the back truck.
For, yes.
For sewer.
But there's other times, 313, 314, depending on what the project is.
And we have to show that money in and money out, so.
Why was the back truck an operational expense? And not a capital expense?
So we actually have to.
Because we already, no, we didn't already own one.
Did not already own one.
So it was not a repair replacement.
Correct. But you have it as a capital item, capital expense.
Right.
But way the budgets are set up is we don't have a, even your stuff on all, everything on your capital item still has to go through the 120, 130 account someplace.
Even though they're strictly operational.
Correct. But this district.
This is a good question for us to talk to Norm about.
This district does not have a capital budget, if you will. It has an operational budget only. And so that's why it was so important to set up the capital reserves and the operational reserves, because we should have a capital account for water and a capital account for sewer for replacements.
Yeah.
So we don't have anything like that. And what we want to do is we want to, now that we're starting to put some money in reserves, we can actually start having a capital account.
Yeah, I think that might be something for us to look at.
And we need to depreciate. So for example, all these computers that we've had the hard drives pulled out, these have been sitting here for 10 years, however long they've been sitting here. These are old computers just taking up space. We had all the hard drives pulled out. Well, we have to depreciate that. We have to take those off of our list.
So that's why your asset register is really your depreciation schedule.
Exactly. And so when you do that, if you're looking at a replacement cost, it's operational. But if you're looking at a brand new, you're looking at a capital cost. And the back truck is a capital. But there's no way to put that through in our current configuration. Does that make sense?
It does. But since we are growing now with the capital savings, we should talk to him when we have our little shindig with him.
Oh, yeah.
About how to best handle this. Because our goal and your goal, our goal, is to have these as an accurate statement of the financial condition, and it's not really accurate to say we've already collected 45% of revenue after our first quarter.
Right.
But I understand, we understand what you're saying.
If you look at page 10, it'll show you the expenses for capital projects and equipment.
Right, I understand, it's accounted for. I don't think that's the question at all. But okay.
It may not be as obvious without an explanation and really going through with a fine-tooth comb. And I think the goal is that we don't have to go through it with as fine a tooth a comb. It's more laid out eventually. And
right.
We'll get there. It's just it's
anyone
process.
Should quickly look and go, oh, you've already collected 45% of your whole year revenue?
Well, that's what I was asking.
Because you're charging too much.
Because that's really what it says.
Yeah, yeah. Which looks like we're on great footing.
Exactly.
Right.
And
so then maybe at the time of the transfer,
that, you know, let it mull, let it process.
Okay.
Have your chats, talk to Norm.
Yeah, we'll
to
see
the new,
what the financial advisor has to say about it and how she recommends setting those up.
Yeah, and how to other, because now that we're building capital reserves,
right,
it's kind of a new situation for us. Okay.
And that was the reason, was to set those capital reserves up so that we could have money to put into an account like this.
No, they're
so
really
now we have the money, we actually can create these line items. So otherwise, just having the line items sit there, everyone would have said, what does this do with the line item? Well, we don't put anything in there. So now we'll create those line items and we'll create that account, basically, and have your capital reserves for water and for wastewater. You may not have to do all these transfers in the future. It might make things easier. We just pull directly out of those accounts.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it'll be easier to understand and interpret.
Right, and you've got it all spelled out in capital. There's all the stuff.
Yep.
I see what you're saying, and I think you may be forced to by the system that has to be set up like this.
Currently we are. So I'm saying we need to...
Which you know, is fine if that's the way it has to happen. It just, you need to maybe have a note or a footnote or something. I think what you told us was fine. I mean, I have no problem with that. This thing is somebody else looking at this. Maybe there's an asterisk with a footnote, and it says, you know, this is a transfer in, transfer out. type of thing, and maybe that's in the manual entry.
Well, and it does show up on the pooled cash, the transfers in and out.
Yeah. Oh, the checks and balances are all there.
Yeah.
It's just that when you, if you think of yourself as a ratepayer looking at this, mm-hmm. and you go, wow, they are charging too much money. Mm-hmm. They've already got 45% of their budget. And then you go asterisk, transfer in, transfer out, and they're like, what is that? You know? And there's a perfectly reasonable explanation for it.
Yeah.
But so it's just something to mull and think about.
I think there's probably a better way to do it. I just don't know that our system currently will let us do it. We'll see if we'll work with Incode and see if it will after we talk with our financial advisor.
Yeah. And like Jim said, if that's the way it is, we'll just make sure we note it every month in mm-hmm. the minutes.
Yep, there's a transfer in of and a transfer out of.
Consistently noted. Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay. Looking pretty good. Some timing issues, no big deal.
Yeah, some things coming in after the fact, but we're good.
I know, pretty good. Okay, I'm good. Are you good?
Yeah, so far.
Take a leap. Don't be so scared. Debt service is 215. That's good. CIDB.
Okay, so now on 130, the transfer in was 136, almost 137,000. And what was that for?
Okay, on 130.
Yeah, it's 134,4580.
Probably page 10.
Yeah, on page, I'm looking at page 2 of 130.
Okay, page 2, here we go.
Yeah, so you look at the transfers in, and then most likely if you go over to the capital projects and equipment, you'll see 158,000.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe at the on the cash here on this page with the transfer in and outs, have footnotes for that month of what exactly that transfer covered.
It might just explain it. Again. Yeah. It's the same thing we're talking mm-hmm. about on 120. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just coming from the water account instead of from the sewer account.
You know, as you let it process, something else mm-hmm. might come to your mind. Yeah. So don't push to have an answer right
now. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of it looks good to me.
Okay.
You know, and also, when we kind of mention these things in the meeting, or you do, or I don't know how you and Kirk want to manage it, when you say these things to the board, like, it's going to make them more in tune with looking at these harder. Mm-hmm. And so that's a good thing. Not that they don't look, but, and I'm sure they do, but it will, like, give them something to, it's like a learning tool, too. Not everyone is like you and me that finds this fascinating. I'm good on the rest. I really am. I think it looks pretty good.
I did add a report, number 7. Yeah. And it's just the debt service. Just
I like that.
Because this comes out in the budget, but then I actually just added a line where when we paid it, because those are paid twice a year. We don't have to keep it in there, but I just added it because
That way
you guys sign checks, but nobody else does.
Right, I was going to say, we see it in reconciliation. Yeah. We see it in reconciliation.
Where'd that money go all of a sudden? And that way you see
it. Yeah, and also be good to be for them to be mindful that we are paying debts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of like that. I wish everything was like debt service. 215, where it all got collected by someone else.
Yeah.
Okay. Solar loans coming along. Yeah, no, it's a good report.
I don't have any problem with the figures. I'm just looking at the I&I repair, for example. We've got, you know, they got the $100,000 budget, and you're going to spend that $100,000 at some point. Do you have any idea when that would happen? At this, a quarter that might happen?
Probably the second or third quarter. So typically what we do, we're out there spending a lot of time and money when it's raining.
Yeah.
And so we're actually out there doing the studies with the equipment out there and that sort of thing. Then the third and fourth quarters when we do the big expense, and that's when we do the repairs. So
that's when we did it last year.
Yeah, I actually identify them during the rain events. So you're looking at, you know, there's January, February, March. Then April, May, and June, which would be the last quarter, is when we actually are doing the repairs.
Okay.
So you'll probably see the majority of that go out in the fourth and final quarter for actual spending.
So then shouldn't we see year-to-date on the INI fellowship if they're doing the study, the first line there? Shouldn't there be some money expended there?
We have to get a bill from them first. We haven't gotten the bill from AmeriCorps.
And we have, but not until this current month.
Right.
Because we kind of overlap the years the way they fall.
Right.
So, and that money is actually transferred into the expense of, I can't think of it now,
okay.
The professional services or something. So that whole lump sum was just transferred out at the beginning of the fiscal year.
Are you tracking their hours that they are specific to INI on?
Yes, we actually have to track all their hours and give a report to AmeriCorps.
Okay, so you just haven't taken that expense yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how we have to show them, you know, they get paid, but they actually have a certain number of service hours they are required to give to us.
Okay.
And we track those hours to make sure that we get the bang for our buck. So
the only thing I'm thinking of for kind of a transparency thing, it might be good on the website or somewhere, even for the board members, is that in terms of the expenses, that when maybe just a footnote, one or a two down here, expect third quarter, fourth quarter expenses will be expended third and fourth quarter, so that people say when the project is being done and then expected that on then. We're finding out over there that that's exactly what we have to do, although that hasn't transferred into the financial end of it, but we're doing it in another way.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of people that, in fact, we had somebody come in and go through every single one of our projects to make sure that we actually got permits for it from this county.
Yeah. So that speaks to timeline?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And even like our IT upgrades, what you see in the report now, they were here yesterday doing a lot of the work. You know, they were looking at the Surface computers that the board uses and adding them to, because I noticed that they were not added to the contract.
Yeah.
So they made sure that they were looking at those. They're pulling all the hard drives and working with Penny on those.
So separately,
you get a bigger
point, it might be a good idea to have separate timelines for projects.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't, I mean, expenses to revenue, it really isn't, it doesn't mean anything.
As long as
but
it happens within
have,
that.
If we have timelines that we could publish on the website, they didn't have to be elaborate, but...
Don't have to be elaborate at all, just...
It might be a good idea to his point, so people can actually go on there and see what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's more of an operational calendar or schedule.
Yeah,
it's not
more
really
than
an accounting
financial.
Issue.
Yeah, it's not accounting, right? Not accounting more.
But we can look at
it. I just saw that.
That would be a good idea.
Listen, I were actually talking about that the other day.
An operational timeline.
Operational project timeline.
Microsoft has a really nice timeline where we already use the timeline. If you look at what we're doing right now for the LHMP.
Exactly.
We already use that timeline.
Yes, you do. It's in the field report.
Yeah, and so all we have to do, those are pretty elaborate and pretty in-depth. We might want to, kind of back up at a higher view.
I'm just talking about something like that.
Yeah, that's what the Microsoft timeline
is. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You know,
it's
just the next one is going to be spent.
Quarter,
it's an Excel spreadsheet.
Second quarter.
Yeah.
What that is. And what we do is we just, we don't want to go into depth like we have in Microsoft. The higher view, we do it at a higher view. Because here's a project.
Project on the left-hand column, 1, 2, 3, 4 quarters.
Well, the problem is that some of those are actually, we're going to do like 25% each quarter.
That's okay.
And so that's what we would do is we'd put, 25%.
Put an X. We'd just put an X.
Yeah.
Yeah, or percentage if you wanted to. You get.
Right.
I was just happy with an X.
Yeah.
I don't care about percentage because that percentage changes.
You'll see funding coming out each month. Yeah. You'll see what's being done, something's being done. Because, for
example,
the INI. What they did do is they went out and did replacements of six manhole. 12 manhole covers?
Right, we signed the check.
Yeah, so we went out, we actually put all the manhole covers, so that part of the INI is done, but the lining of the lines, those, that part's not done. So, you know, there's parts that's already been done, but not all of it.
I think that's a good point.
Yeah, so.
But it isn't necessarily accounting, but it's a very good point.
It's an operational.
Yeah, so let's work on that.
Okay. We done with the financials?
I'm done.
Okay. Credit card use policy?
Just gotta read it quickly.
In the monthly financials, before we jump out of that one, the other thing we want to look at, and I apologize, we couldn't get multiple copies, but this is the budget accountability policy.
Oh, right, right, right.
And so that will actually go in line. Now, because we only have one, and you guys haven't had a chance to read it ahead of time, what I wanted to do is I wanted to show it to you, we want to make copies of it, get it to you. I don't know that we would want to put it necessarily on this board meeting, we had planned to originally, but I'm wondering if we want to put it on November.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay, because I think if we, I want you guys to have a chance to read it, I want to have a chance to discuss it.
I'll go home and make a copy. No, I won't.
And that way, you know, we'll, when the power comes up, we'll just email it to you. You guys can look at it, if you have questions, then in the next finance committee meeting, we can address that. What's that?
Tell them to take pictures of it.
Yeah. The next finance committee meeting, yeah, we used to do that with our cell phones, just take pictures of them. But that way you can look at it, read through it, and then we'll bring it back in the.
So this is from Doug, this is what he sent you?
Yeah, this is the compilation.
I never see the sense of putting a purpose. It's the policy, period.
Right.
It's self-explanatory why it's purposeful.
Almost every policy has a purpose on it.
A lot of them do, but I noticed the new CSDA ones do not.
Yeah.
They just have the policy, which I like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, most of them have a reason why the policy was even enacted. What was the reason behind, what was the thought process?
Makes sense. I like that idea.
What's the thought process behind having this policy, and why are we going through that effort? And if you help people understand that, you have that communication, all of a sudden you have more buy-in. So when you have the, you know, the reason why, you get that buy-in.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what the purpose really is.
Yeah, I still don't like it, but it's okay. I'm not gonna go to the mat for it.
All right, so let's go to the credit card policy.
Oh, so can we just, what are we doing with this?
So with that, we just want to make sure you guys had.
Okay, I'll take a picture after, so I don't take time.
Do we need that copy? Is that?
No, I'll just take a picture, it's okay.
So you can take that copy with you.
Well, but Director Freeman needs a copy.
Right.
I'll give it to him when I'm done.
We're not gonna, yeah, we're not gonna do anything with it this month, so we have time. Next week you can send it to us.
And we have time to send it to him electronically.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
We're fine.
And when I pay my assessment, I can drop him off a copy. All right, I'll slide it under the door if you're not there.
Okay, cool.
Well, your door doesn't have a crack at the bottom.
No, just tell the front desk to put it in my mailbox.
Oh, you have a mailbox. What's different? Because remember, we had to hold this up because you said we became aware of something that. Okay.
Maybe just sit here. We found a little bit of a discrepancy. It was with what Doug had in there and some other things we found in CSDA. When we combined it, there was just a little bit of a discrepancy on that one. I don't remember exactly what it was, but we just.
We were waiting to find out if we were gonna do a different.
Carrier.
Carrier.
Yeah.
And if we were gonna go by percentages or just a flat rate.
And that, I think that percentage versus flat rate created a pretty significant discrepancy in how we would proceed, so. But as a third party, and we just left it, it just says third party, so it's open-ended.
So this really doesn't tell us what we do. It just says that the full charge bookkeeper will ensure that the transactions are done right, which.
Well, that'd be an SOP. That'd be a standard operating procedure.
But that's, isn't that kind of what it says in the last paragraph?
Well, what I'm saying is, you said that doesn't say what we'll do. That's the policy of what the board would require.
No, I mean, like, it doesn't say what we will charge. It just says.
Every carrier, some of them are different.
Okay, so the policy's just basically saying we're gonna.
Charge whatever your bank charges us.
Right, and that's because we have to do we can't do an average, we have to do an actual.
Correct.
Okay. I'm okay with that. I'm not going to pick it over. I think we should just do it. We need it. It's already in the budget. And
we said it's 22,000? 38,000?
Yeah, and it's first quarter and we haven't been able to collect a penny because we don't have a policy.
Correct.
Oh, I'm sorry, make sure the policy's going to be right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just want to make sure we don't get challenged. That's one
and
of the things.
And legal approved this?
Yeah. Legal has is the one that provided that portion of it.
Okay.
Wait, no, that's not that one.
No,
I take it back.
That was the budget accountability.
Budget accountability.
So legal will still have to look at this one.
Okay. So pending legal, we'll recommend it.
Yeah,
I'm okay with it. It's broad. It should be. It's in place.
Unfortunately, it has to be because there's no set amount. That's the frustration. You know, there's no control by the banking industry as to what everyone charges. Some charge, for example, $5. Some charge $3 for an ATM that's out of your network.
Oh, and easily.
And this is the same thing. They charge different amounts. And the other thing is that, you know, we look at it and say, well, there's also not just the credit card fee, but there's the electronic fee for the from the company. And it's not actually Encode. It's what's the other company?
ETS or Avalon now.
So do we know immediately when the transaction happens what the charge is, or is it going to be a timing issue?
It's a timing issue.
That's going to make it a little hairy.
So let's go back over again, Doug, because one of the things that's always bothered me about this is why we are charging. And I know we're not supposed to make a profit, but we're not making a profit.
Right.
I mean, the profit is at the end of the year on our financial statement.
Right.
It's not on any individual services that we charge.
But the law says on individual services we cannot charge them more than what it actually costs them. So they consider that to be a profit to the
district. Because if we were actually charging them a dollar more by averaging, they're actually lending us money, the ratepayer is.
Because
we have
to
even up with that. Yeah.
So that's why we want to have legal look at this to make sure that we can move this forward without issue.
And there is no profit here.
No.
Not even at the end of the fiscal year.
Nope.
This is favorable or unfavorable to budget. There's no profit in
our
government agency.
We'll still lose money on this. We just won't lose $38,000.
Right.
We might lose, you know, $800 or $1,000 even.
We're recapturing a loss.
Correct.
Right. That we've been bearing.
Right, and we can't recapture the loss through one person for them and another person.
That's correct.
It all has to be for what they actually use the services for, the actual cost.
Right, and I don't know. I mean, I know what HVLA does, but there's really not a relevant comparison.
Yeah, because we're a public agency. So right. I think that, you know, they can charge an administrative cost. And I don't know that we can actually charge the administrative costs.
Right.
Can I honestly say, okay, You're gonna pay a flat rate of $5, and you know it's $2.50 for you and $3 for you, and therefore administrative cost is $2.50. But for you, it's only
$2.
And
they're corporate, and we're not. And
so how do we justify that when the actual difference is in what their individual is being charged?
Okay.
We can't change our administrative cost.
Well, you were gonna say something, Penny.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
So let me be a heretic in this thing. I don't think this is one of our services. I don't think it's a service. I think we're just providing a convenience. And I would argue this is not a service that we provide. This is a convenience.
Well, it's a convenience for us, too.
No, well, I don't care. It's not a service that the ratepayers don't pay us.
Correct.
As a service. They pay it because that's not one of the services we are chartered to provide or want.
Right.
We provide a convenience.
But
and I think
a
on
service.
The basis of combining and
a
convenience.
So the question is that can we have a convenience fee?
Is there a
and
convenience
flat,
fee?
And flat rate it.
So
exactly.
We're a public agency,
right.
Have to obey the law.
Yep.
And that exactly sounds like an end run. And my guess is it would be a flat no.
I think the best thing to do is to look at this and if the board approves it pending legal, and then just let legal hash the whole thing out.
I mean,
out. You
can be a heretic, that's fine. But we are really regulated on what we can't special assess for nothing. We have to justify every single cost related to our actual costs too. Like
correct.
We're not allowed to pad rates because we think something might happen. It has to be an actual, based on actual justifiable expenses.
That's why it's so important to have a strategic plan and say these things are going, you know, we plan on doing these things, therefore we're going to raise the rates.
Right.
And if we don't do those things, then we can be held accountable because we got the rates for them. Why didn't you do them?
Right.
And there are several agencies that have had that happen. They put these strategic plans together, raised rates, and says, yeah, these are great. They didn't do those projects. And they're like, wait, you got our money for it. So what services, you know, did I get in lieu of that? And well, we didn't do anything extra. Well, where's that money going? Whose pocket is it? So it becomes this big issue.
Right. And look at sometimes what the governor does. He calls it a fee, and everybody screams, that's a tax.
Yep.
And that asks, so you can call it what you want, but in the public realm, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to, and if we can have a convenience fee or a convenience charge, that would make it so much easier for us, and I'd love to do that. Mm-hmm. I just need to make sure that legal is you know, on board and they can defend us.
Well, if we can approach that as a convenience fee or a fee mm-hmm. for this convenience that the
ratepayers
asked us to do, then why not?
Well, the paper you gave us before mm-hmm. that he gave you mm-hmm. said you can only charge the actual fee.
Correct.
Right.
And that's why this was so broad.
Right.
Because the fees were different for different constituents.
Right.
It really depended upon what their bank was. So, you know, we know, we can't go up there and say, okay, well, you're with Wells Fargo, so your fee's going to be this. But what we can do is when we do the charge, it actually has it right on there. When they do an electronic charge on the computer,
mm-hmm.
it calculates it for them. So when they hit the OK button, they already know what the fee's going to be. Their charges are already there.
Right.
So they don't tack it on after the fact.
Right. And we like debit and credit card use.
Right.
That money goes to our account immediately. There's no bounce check problems. There's no nothing
like that.
We don't
have to sit there and drive in there during the day and put the $22,000 in the bank.
Right. And we know what percentage pretty much we'll pay that way.
Yeah.
We can do automatic withdrawal. It's to our benefit, too.
Yeah.
It facilitates our cash flow.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's kind of six to one, half dozen the other. I mean, I was really supportive to have it all electronic, but as Karen and Marty pointed out to me, sometimes it's a pain in the butt because you're on the phone with the customer,
uh-huh.
you've got to write the information down.
Yeah.
When they go on the computer, that's actually the easiest way, but when they're doing it over the phone or they walk in and do a credit card,
I'm surprised how many people do call in here with their credit card number.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just the same whether they do cash, check, credit card, debit card.
It
if they come
process.
In, you know, or they call in, we still have to go through that whole process. Now they do it online, that helps out a little bit, and that is a little bit easier. But I thought it'd be much easier with credit cards, and Karen says not really. She says, whether they pay with a cash, check, or credit card, I still have to go through that same.
Yeah, the advantage process. Is just us collecting the money quicker.
Yeah. And the guarantee. So
it's
backed by Visa or MasterCard.
Right.
And it's not a bounce check. So cash is pretty good
small.
Too.
Yeah, cash is pretty good too, but then you got to make sure someone goes to the bank every day.
And we have to do that with the checks too. It's like,
Do we still do a budget? Were we at one time doing a budget, I thought, when I first came on board?
A budget.
The budgets. In other words, you could pay $50 a month.
Like a payment plan.
Oh, payment plan.
Yeah.
Only payment plan we have was one that I implemented, and if somebody is behind on their bill and they get shut off or they say, hey, we can't pay it, I don't want to get shut off, so I can do it beforehand, we do it on a case-by-case basis. What I do is I draw up a written contract that they sign and I sign, and it basically says that they had to make their regular payment, their next payment, plus, and we figure, I said, well, when can you have it done? When can you pay it? Well, with my regular payment, I can have it paid in 3 months. So I divide it into three, what their current bill is, and they're paying their regular payment, 100% of the regular payment, plus a third of whatever that is.
And we have a policy for this.
I brought a policy to the board,
right.
And the board approved it.
And it's like, it can't happen all the time.
Right.
At your discretion.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a case-by-case basis, and I think there's actually limitations in there. They can only do that like once a year,
right.
or something
and
like that.
And then they have to pay still the interest and
mm-hmm.
whatever else we charge.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a payment plan, but that's the only payment policy or payment option they have, is to make...
We did talk, though, once about...
There was an averaging.
Doing an averaging and just charging that every month.
You can do it in the system. It was just really confusing on their bills and things, and the few people that did it canceled it because it was kind of a nightmare.
Okay, so this must have been before I got here.
Yeah, it was way before.
Okay, because I've never seen it.
It was like 08, and I remember a few customers were on it, and it was really hard to explain to them, especially when they kind of trued up and thing. It was, and then when we went from bi-monthly to monthly, it was a mess. So the few people that tried it were like, nah, I'll just pay my bill. It may have gotten better. It might have been an in-code issue. I don't know, but averaging is a possibility on the accounts.
Okay.
What were you thinking? Were you just wondering? Or?
Yeah, I mean, looking at feral gas and some of the other things as we get into, you know, this rate increase, is it going to be advantageous for us to allow or to set up a budget payment system? The problem with that is nobody is ever ahead. We would never be ahead of an account. We'd always be behind an account.
Yeah, we would.
And if we have people, you know, getting behind on an account at the end of the year, we're now trying to scramble for maybe thousands and thousands of dollars.
Correct.
Some people trying to do that. So that ran through my head, and thinking, no, that's a crappy idea.
There's no crappy idea.
I know that Southern California Edison did that, where you'd have a flat rate fee as long as you got on their shutoff program, and they could your air would still run, the fan would run, but the condenser would not kick on. And you could do that and also get on their flat rate program. So at the end of the year, depending upon what you paid last year, and it was based on your previous 12 months. So they would just say, okay, based on your previous 12 months, your bill is going to be $120, or $150 every single month.
Yeah.
And then at the end, if you actually use less power, they give you a check they give you a credit to your account for the next year. And otherwise, you would owe them the extra money. It's like, I just paid them $150, now you also got to pay them another $300. So that was tough.
And then with the credit part, it's a problem because they've actually lent us money the whole year.
And so, I used to do stuff like that and get credit, but it was, when you actually had to pay up, you always made sure that you put the extra money aside because you knew at the end of the year you're going to have to pay that.
So. I mean, I'm a little optimistic that our first rate increase won't be as dramatic because of some of the stuff and hopefully in the next quarter, if we can handle the Unit 9 tank, that's going to help again too.
Yeah.
And it won't
that
be huge,
generators.
But
the generators will be huge.
The generators
people,
will be
so.
Huge.
Did you see, I emailed you, I don't know if you got it, but I emailed you a Tara Bravo from CV Strategies. They sent me a draft and I made some changes. There were some concerns with it, but I made some changes, and it's an article for the View magazine.
When did you do that?
Probably about an hour before you got here.
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
Oh, so do you have internet and everything at work?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The internet's out here because
Very slow.
They're working out here on the AT&T's having some issues out here.
So all your Jennies are up and kicking and running?
Yeah.
Good for you guys.
Yeah. This place, the Greenview, is packed.
Oh, my gosh.
It's been packed since 8 o'clock.
They gave us free coffee this morning.
Yeah.
Melissa went in there.
Nice. Yeah.
They gave us a craft.
Yeah.
Pressurized craft.
That was really nice.
So we'll take it back tonight. Tell them to take
it. Yeah. We'll probably do. I'm really glad we had an outage. Because everybody was like, oh, they just made us pay for those generators, and they're not even going to be used.
No, I was hoping for it, too. And 2 days is not bad. Maybe 3 days is not bad. I can live with that.
They'll find things. They'll complain about the gates or something. They'll find something.
Oh, sure. Well, this gate was left open, and they denied access to somebody 4 times, and that person drove around and came in this way. So this gate was open, and that was one of the problems.
That's
the old main gate
was
never on the line to be activated anyway, so they just have cones showing the people.
But I felt like
around.
They should have
your ex,
or
I told him, it went like this, and he kept on going. Sorry. he figured it out when he finally got to the cones. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yes, I do. No, I haven't looked at it because we've been in meetings over there.
Okay.
And
so make sure it is there.
Yeah.
For you to take
We had a problem here, a very, very brief problem, and then we had a problem at Unit 9 going across because in some instances the gate went up really like this and then it just comes slowly down like that. We're trying to figure out why, because everything else works that operates off the same power. So, the poor IT guys.
So if the gate goes up and you
head.
Go through, do you really care about how it comes down?
That's exactly it. Nobody cares.
And
that's
it's just,
what
okay,
I said,
the
what
person
you
behind
about?
You might be a little bit like, oh, but then it's going to flip for them.
Yeah. No, I don't think anybody really cares except, you know,
really?
You're trying to... ideally, you're trying to get it down quickly.
So that people don't double up.
Yeah, it don't double up. Exactly, that was it.
Maybe for the gate guard.
But we really don't have that problem as much.
And there's not a lot.
All right, so we...
Well, are we good to recommend this pending legal approval?
Yes, yeah.
Do you want to send this over to Doug, or...
Yeah, we'll send that to Doug.
Okay. This meeting, it's going to make this meeting or not?
I hope it's going to make this meeting.
Oh, okay.
See what the internet will let us do.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm hoping it'll make this meeting. That's our intent, but there may be some things that we're going to request at the start of the meeting. We may, when you ask to approve the agenda, I may ask to make some modifications and pull some things.
That's
because
fine.
If we don't have internet, we might have to pull stuff.
Yeah, okay.
We'll do what we can.
All right, let's number seven, let's discuss the audit.
Okay. That one's really simple. We don't have anything yet. Norm is looking at it. We're hoping that by November he'll come in and give the board presentation, but it's usually several months after they do the audit.
Okay. So. Typically before he does the presentation to the board, he meets with finance.
Yeah, he'll come in. And
last year we didn't have that opportunity, but I think it would be good, even if you want to do a phone call.
I was going to say, typically it would be a phone call.
At our November meeting, yeah. At our next finance. Okay.
All right.
But it's looking pretty good.
It's looking pretty good.
All right, we have no public?
Yeah, nothing that was glaring, so.
Comment?
No.
None?
Oh, I do have one question. How are we going to pay for the generators from the city of Sacramento?
Pay?
Under Cal Warren, I thought it was less charge, but some charge.
Yeah, the charge that we have at this point is the cost of Dennis and Sam driving down there last night and bringing them back and then taking them back.
Oh, they brought
down
them
there.
Back?
We drove down. And we dropped them off, or picked them up, and we'll drop them off. So our staff time, there's overtime, that is regular costs.
Okay.
We're going to have to top off the fuel tanks. They gave them to us full, we'll give them to them back full.
Okay.
But we have our regular diesel, we'll just drive over to our tanks and fill up. So there's going to be higher fuel usage during that month.
Do we have enough fuel?
Yes.
Okay.
And we also have, just so you know, we have a contingency plan. We have a contract with Westgate Petroleum, even during emergencies, and so they keep us topped off. And they also keep all of our generators topped off.
Isn't that Claude Brown?
Claude.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't expect an actual bill. This will be the first one, but I don't expect a bill from them for the rental of the generators.
Okay.
Anything that were to happen to the generators, we would have to pay for if we damaged them or they were damaged on our watch.
Yeah.
That said, that's what the operational reserve would be used for. So if there is a cost associated with this, I would expect it to be well under the GM purview. So it probably wouldn't have to come to the board, and it would be out of the operational reserve budget.
Yeah.
That's what this is, operational.
So wouldn't our carrier, if we damaged that generator, couldn't we make a claim under our general liability?
If it was $25,000 or more.
Okay.
Because we're self-insured. So if it's $25,000 more, yeah. So if it was a total loss, we could definitely put a claim on that.
Okay.
Because we went through Cal Warren, and this is a recognized agreement, if we had just gone through and brought one from somebody's house, probably not. But yeah, because of the way we did it, we should be able to actually put a claim on it if something ever happened.
Okay.
So the truck, the dump truck that brought up the unit, did that make it to San Sacramento and back, or did you use a different truck?
We used the new construction truck.
Yeah.
And then the other one, the dump truck, they're trying to find a penal hitch. We couldn't find one up here.
Yeah.
But they found one down there.
Oh, okay.
And so it made it down there and back. So.
Biggest the thing.
Interesting.
Well, the biggest one we have is right out here in the back. It's
the generator.
That's the biggest one we have is right here in the back. It's a 430 kW generator. So if you saw the one that was here before, the one here before was a 480. This one's it's a little bit smaller. The problem is at 480, you can run dual pigtails. So you can run one to this building and one run to the pump house. But 480 is where that starts. This is a 430, so we can only run to the pump house. We can't run to this building. So our permanent one will dual feed to both buildings. Unfortunately, the loaner, that's one of the downsides of loaners. We can't keep this building up and running 100% like we could with the big generator we rented. So. But the dump truck was the truck that picked it up and the construction truck. But the actual generator, if you want, when we go out here, it's sitting right out in the back and it's running. So it's not that loud for as big as it is.
Yeah. And the other question is, how much power do you actually use here? I mean,
that's a good question.
Yeah. So a portable one. A generator would work.
Yes and no. We we cannot run, we're blowing the GFI, so the one that we have connected right now is going from that building to this building. It's not coming straight from the generator, and it's constantly, well, I should say constantly, five or six times this morning it has blown because we're trying to see how many computers we could put up and get running, and we started losing it at, let's see, we put the fourth computer on and it started blowing it. So it'll only run four PCs.
And it seems like an awful little, you know, very little power coming in from there. And that's because, I mean, I'm running an entire house, you know, and we turned everything on except for the air conditioning and the range. But I can run, you know, washer, dryer,
yeah, a lot. What size do you have?
4,400. That's all.
Yeah.
There's a $400, Harbor Freight Predator.
Yeah.
Which is just a copy of the Honda.
Little Honda.
So do you have a propane dryer?
No. Well, I have a propane dryer, yeah, but I have an electric washer. I can run the electric washer. Yeah.
You have an electric stove?
No, gas stove.
I have gas. I have mine, too. Just light it.
Yeah. That's what I have.
And you have hot water? You have propane hot water.
Yeah, propane. I have propane hot water.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm running everything on it because we did a transfer switch for the entire house.
And, well, that's pretty good.
You know, so I got most everything.
Again, lights? The only thing you I have could, your lights?
All lights, all the computers. We're running two computers, and
the problem is our big engines over there. The electric motors are taking the majority of what this one offers.
Well, I understand. So you're probably just getting a small bleed on it.
But all. You're talking about just for here.
I'm talking about just for here. I can't. You know, I'm looking at the lights and thinking about your computers. Computers don't use a lot of electricity. Yeah. They just use a constant light.
Why that truck's open. That wire going out there is a 2,000-watt inverter out of my pickup truck going in the back, and it's running stuff in my office.
Yeah, yeah.
But our problem is the internet.
Yeah.
Even if we're using computers.
Well, it's everybody's problem.
We can't use ENCODE.
Yeah. Right. We can't use anything.
Yeah, and MediaCom said they weren't doing anything about this.
They're not doing anything.
Make sure that you call them up and say, I'm not paying for these days, folks.
I am doing that.
Yep.
Because I called them and they said they had no plan.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that was 2 months ago. They had plenty of time to do something.
Yeah, all you have to do is say, okay, you charge me this month, divide it by 30, these are the number of days I was out, I'm only going to give you this month. There you go, bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a phone either. So, landline. I have to consult.
Plus the aggravation factor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, let me know how much you're charging for that. The inconvenience factor.
That's what I'm saying, aggravation.
Yeah. We're gonna do.
Okay, committee members, comment, we're done. Items for next agenda. Same as this agenda.
And you can always email us.
Oh, well, the financials will be a monthly thing.
Yeah.
And then hopefully we'll have the conference with the auditor. And then we do need to look at how you can give us an overview on what's going on with SOPs, how far you are, how, you know, where you are on that. And then so far, I think that's all. I think that's pretty good. Unless you guys.
That's all I got to think of.
Joe?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that it?
That's it. Next,
all right, move to adjourn.
Second.
Likewise.
Thank you.
1:54.
And 1 o'clock from now on is
not good for you.
No, it's 1 o'clock from now on.
Just while I'm in school, after December, because I go to school till 12:15 on Monday and Wednesdays.
So by the time she gets back here on Monday or Wednesday, it's usually three.
Yeah, I mean you're right.
So you're dropping out of school.